next to Crump. He is at the podium speaking right now. We do have a reporter there. Chelsea Donovan is there monitoring all of this. Just as a quick briefing, Williams died after officers used a taser on him several times while trying to arrest him last month. Again, the family is calling for the officers to be involved, to be charged with manslaughter. We're going to listen in on this and we'll bring you any of the updates here in the WREL Live Center.
All right, Michelle, thanks. We'll wait for that information. Meantime, clouds will increase throughout the day as a cold front approaches. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Ahead of that front, it is warm and windy today. Tomorrow morning, we'll see rain and it could be messy. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WREL Severe Weather Center with a look at the timeline for all this.
Check out this. It looks gorgeous in Durham right now. I know there's some cloud cover. There's a little bit of blue sky showing there, and it's 71 degrees here at noon in the middle of February. Part of that is because of our wind. Our wind is coming out of the southwest, so that is pushing a lot of warmth into our area today. Our winds are steady southwest at 13, but we're gusting in some places 20 to 25. Here's a look at the big picture. You see these wind streams? All this warmth is coming up from the south, and that's what's allowed our temperatures to climb well above normal. I'll show you how close we'll be to a record later on this afternoon. Ahead of this cold front and south of the warm front, there's a lot of rain happening, but all of that is moving northward. You see along the cold front, there's not nearly as much rain. So the cold front will slide across our area during the day tomorrow. Here's a look at Futurecast as we move through the afternoon. You can see mostly cloudy skies here at 5 o'clock, and we'll continue to see enough moisture lifting that we'll see mostly cloudy skies for the rest of the night tonight. And then tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., we're starting to see some rain move into our northwestern counties. There's lunchtime. That rain spreads across a good chunk of the region, and then gradually into the early part of the afternoon, that slips eastward. We'll see some clearing, and our temperatures are going to take a big dive. Here's another look at our percent of precipitation during the morning. So notice that still ramping up at 8, and the most likely heaviest rain will be right here, say mid-morning, from 9 a.m. to around lunchtime, and then after that, we do taper off into the afternoon. A lot of folks I know are interested in heading down to FanFest. We'll talk about how this and the temperatures could affect that coming up.
Right now, Durham police are investigating a homicide. A man was found dead on Park Avenue this morning, and that is where we find WREL's Adam Owens joining us live with what we know about this so far. Adam.
Well, Jeff, they were out here earlier this morning, and hours later, they are still out here. You can see an area of Park Avenue remains closed as the shooting investigation continues. Police are telling us they could be here for quite some time to come. It was around 8 this morning that police were called here. They say they found a man shot this morning. He was declared dead at the scene. The road here is closed from Lathrop Street to Holloway Street on Park Avenue. The name of the man who was shot has not been released at the moment. Cameron Smith has lived in this area for some time and says she really cares for this community. She's sad to see that there's crime scene tape near her home.
Since I've been here, there's been probably 4 to 5 incidences over the decade that I can remember that stick in my mind where it's been very traumatizing.
Traumatizing indeed. That's what we're hearing from a few folks here. As a matter of fact, we've tried to interview other folks who say they're just so upset about these incidents happening out here that they're too scared to speak with us. You see, again, there are a number of officers who are out over there. Jeff, they say they will be here for quite some time. Obviously, what would bring some peace of mind to people living in this area is to get more information on a possible arrest. We're still waiting to hear about that from police. Back to you.
Adam Owens live from the scene of that homicide in Durham. Adam, thank you. Meantime, in Raleigh, we're working to learn what prompted a chase involving Highway Patrol. Sky 5 was over I-540 and Six Forks Road when the chase ended. We're told three people jumped from that vehicle and ran. They were located a short time later. No one was hurt and no word on their names or ages.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, an update on that Michigan State University shooting. Just a short time ago, police gave another update on the investigation into that mass shooting. According to Fox 2 in Detroit, one victim has been updated to stable condition. Four shooting victims remain in critical condition. This is also what officers are saying. They say they found two guns, they found ammunition, and two notes from shooter Anthony McRae. Police say he used one of those guns to kill himself. The other was found in his his backpack along with weapons. He was also carrying 8 loaded magazines and another container of 50 loose bullets. One of the notes gave an indication for a motive, however, that cannot be confirmed at this time. Police say they believe that McRae was the lone shooter and no one else was involved.
The American Red Cross is helping a Johnson County family whose home was destroyed by fire. Flames tore through the home at US 701 near Marler Road just before 9 last night. 3 adults and 2 children made it out safely. One family member was taken to the hospital to be treated for smoke inhalation. The Johnson County Fire Marshal's Office is investigating what caused the fire. Investigators are searching for the cause of a fire that nearly destroyed a home in Rollsville. Take a look. The town's fire department posted these photos to Facebook. You can see there's not much left of the home near Pulleytown Road. Firefighters say no one was home. They did manage to save 2 dogs and a cat that needed some oxygen.
Classes are canceled at NC State today as the university holds a wellness day for students to focus on their mental health. WRL's Laura Levine joins us from campus to explain why a day like this was needed right now.
Students here at NC State are not going to class today. The people you see walking past me are actually planning to participate in a wellness day. They are encouraged to take a step back, reset, and recharge. Several activities are planned for the day, such as a wellness relaxation station and even yoga. Now, this wellness day was already on the calendar for this semester, but it became very necessary after a student was found dead this past Saturday in Sullivan Hall. This is the 5th reported suicide at the school and the 8th student death overall this school year. In recent months, NC State has increased the number of counselors on campus and is now providing telehealth services.
I think it's incredibly important, and frankly, I think it should be the standard for most campuses. Students are so stressed out with work and with, you know, classes, and just being a college student as a whole is stressful. I think mindfulness and everything that comes with it should be more of a priority.
The university said there is no longer a wait list for mental health appointments. The Wellness Day activities will run until 4 this afternoon. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
Today, a funeral will be held for a Hillside High School student killed in a shooting along the American Tobacco Trail. We've learned 17-year-old Anthony Feaster is the teenager who died earlier this month. Another student was also injured in that shooting. Police have not made any arrests in the case, and officers have also not released any suspect information. In light of recent events, tomorrow, Hillside High School will use the remote learning day they had planned as a day of healing for students and staff.
Big changes are coming today to RDU International, where you're looking live. New flights are arriving at the airport as the triangle continues to grow. WRL's Nia Harden shows us how more discount airlines are getting into the game.
This morning, we saw passengers checking in here at Avelo Airlines, and the big thing here is that they are now calling this spot home as they move into Terminal 1. And later today, Breeze Airways will have its first flight out of RDU. Breeze will be the 4th new airline launched in the last year. RDU says passenger growth is just under pre-pandemic levels, with more than 11 million travelers coming through RDU in 2022. From 2021 to 2022, the airport saw a nearly 35% increase in travelers. The new carriers are likely to bring more passengers as they run more nonstop flights. Breeze Airways will have 3 nonstop destinations: Hartford, Connecticut, Providence, Rhode Island, New Orleans, Louisiana, and 5 more coming soon. Avelo will be the only airline serving Fort Myers, Sarasota, Bradenton, and West Palm Beach nonstop from RDU.
For me, is that it flies nonstop to Fort Myers, so one less trip to the airport. It seems busier, there's more options, and even the airport, more things to eat, more places to shop.
The Airport Authority will also be meeting today to talk about several things, including airport parking growth. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Wake County.
Developers who want to transform Durham's Northgate Mall will talk about their plans this evening. Tonight's meeting is happening at 6 at the former Dress Barn location at the mall. Developers want to convert the mall's old Sears building into more shops, a retail anchor store, and a small park. The overall layout of the mall would stay about the same, but developers want to give it a fresh look. A history of Rosenwald schools is the focus of a documentary film, Unlocking the Doors of Opportunity. A special screening of the film will happen tonight at the North Carolina Museum of History. The film documents the Rosenwald schools that were built to educate blacks in North Carolina and other southern states during the Jim Crow era. A panel discussion will follow the screening. It'll include an alumnus, filmmakers, and local scholars. Again, the screening is tonight at the North Carolina Museum of History. That event starts at 7, followed by the panel discussion. For more information, you can go to ncmuseumofhistory.org.
Next at noon, a massive fire at a Florida plant nursery. The trouble putting this fire out and the concerns for people in the surrounding area.
Also, a rise in the use of artificial intelligence, where in our communities it's playing a more prominent role.
Plus, at 12:30, new information coming out of a news conference with civil rights attorney Ben Crump. A live report as he represents the family of a man who died in Raleigh police custody.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Firefighters are keeping an eye on a massive fire at a nursery supply company in Kissimmee, Florida. This is just south of Orlando. This happened just after 2 a.m. This started, and crews say thousands of pallets of plastic planters are what's burning there. Officials are monitoring the air quality in the area, but say no evacuations will be needed due to smoke or carbon monoxide issues. No one was hurt, and the cause of the fire is under investigation. The head of the EPA plans to visit East Palestine, Ohio today. This comes as people living there demand answers about the impacts to their community following a toxic train derailment nearly 2 weeks ago. A lot of the folks here have returned to their homes now after an evacuation order was lifted. Others are staying away, fearing potential health dangers. State officials insist air and water quality is safe after several rounds of testing. Some in the community have complained of headaches, burning eyes, and nausea, and say that thousands of fish were killed in local waters. And another miracle rescue out of Turkey, more than a week after a 7.8 magnitude earthquake there. Today, crews pulled a 17-year-old woman out from underneath all that rubble of a collapsed building. It's been 10 days since this happened. The young woman was carried to a waiting ambulance, rushed to a nearby hospital. The video shows this amazing effort by the rescue crews on the ground in this decimated part of the world. Now 42,000 people have died in Turkey and Syria.
The rise of artificial intelligence continues, with software like ChatGPT now becoming more prominent in places like schools and houses of worship. Mike Emanuel takes a closer look at how it's being used.
It's actually creating right in front of you.
ChatGPT is a tool that gathers information from the entire internet as well as from books and scientific journals. The program draws from its database to generate conversations, essays, poetry, and more.
If you ask it to write a play about four fifth graders and here's the problem that happens, it'll do that for you.
Critics warn students will be able to use the software to cheat on assignments, but some teachers say similar concerns existed about other technology and wound up not becoming a reality.
When Google Drive first came out, there was that big concern, oh, kids are just going to share their docs with one another, and then they're just going to copy and paste stuff from the internet and turn that in and claim it's their own work. Guess what? The majority of students don't do that.
And while ChatGPT can produce factual and grammatical errors, some educators say this is an opportunity to teach about proper sentence structure and how to use credible sources to fact check. But the program isn't just being used in schools.
I told ChatGPT to write me a sermon in the voice of a rabbi of about 1,000 words about the Torah portion on the theme of intimacy and vulnerability.
While some religious leaders are also experimenting with ChatGPT for crafting sermons, some say there are limitations because AI can't quite understand faith.
That was Mike Emanuel reporting. One seminary professor says what's missing with artificial intelligence is a soul. And without a soul, it cannot understand true ministry.
The creators of the world's first robot lawyer say that it will not help two defendants in court this month after all. The company, Do Not Pay, cites threats from state bar prosecutors as the reason for postponing plans. The CEO says it will instead stick to consumer rights issues as courtroom cases prove to be too controversial.
Some of Durham legend and fashion icon Andre Leon Talley's items will go up for auction today. Nearly 400 items are going up for auction at Christie's in New York. They're expected to fetch more than $1 million, all for charity. The items include his custom designer pieces, rare accessories, and photographs. Proceeds from the sale will go to Mount Sinai Mission Baptist Church in Durham. Rihanna, her baby boy, and boyfriend A$AP Rocky will be on the cover of British Vogue's March issue. This is Rihanna's son's magazine debut. He was born last May. In the interview, Rihanna opens up about how motherhood has changed her life. It comes just days after she announced her second pregnancy following her Super Bowl halftime show performance. She says she was very surprised by how quickly that pregnancy happened.
Carter Finley Stadium has turned into the Triangle's largest outdoor hockey rink, and the countdown is on to the big outdoor game. Carolina Hurricanes take on the Washington Capitals Saturday. Before that, all eyes will be on Friday's Fan Fest.
And once you know it, just in time for the weekend, we'll get cooler temperatures here. Right now, it is warm, and it's really windy out there, too. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center.
When it gets a little windy, we love to take a look at the Wilson camera because the whirligigs really tell the story. It's definitely cloudy here. We're seeing some gusty winds, and we're seeing different conditions across the area. I pulled up some cameras, especially, say, down around Pinehurst and Southern Pines. Beautiful blue sky there. So we're seeing some sun in spots and some clouds in other places. It's 71 degrees officially at in the Triangle area. Will likely climb on up to 78 by about the middle of the afternoon. Take a look at some of the wind. Right now we're gusting up to 25 miles per hour in Rocky Mount and Wilson. The wind gusts are in the white box on the right. We're gusting to 24 in Goldsboro, 23 in Durham and Raleigh, 21 in Fayetteville, 26 in South Hill. So we're looking at gusty winds everywhere, gusting 20 to 25 miles per hour. The winds are out of the southwest and that gustiness is pushing that warmth our way, and our steady winds are right around 15 miles per hour. We take a look at current temperatures, 73 already in Fayetteville and Southern Pines. It's 68 in Roxborough and 73 in Rocky Mount and Wilson. We'll add a few more degrees to that by the middle of the afternoon to almost 80 in Fayetteville and Clinton, 78 in Rocky Mount and 76 degrees in Roxborough. We're close to record highs. Interestingly enough, you remember last week we ended up tying and breaking some records with temperatures in the 70s. But this week, just, you know, 1 week closer to spring, those records are in the 80s now, 81 in 2018 for Raleigh and 82 in 2018 for Fayetteville. So we'll be a few degrees from that. I'm not sure that we're going to make it into the 80s this afternoon, but we'll be close to records. Definitely a great day to be spending your lunch hour outside. Obviously, if you're with us, you're not there, but dinner hour outside. Also, the biggest thing is the wind. You know, sometimes, you know, if you're eating outside, that wind, you know, starts to blow things around. That would be your biggest concern today. We take a look at our cold front that's headed our way. We still have tornado watch. Looking at a good chance for severe thunderstorms all up and down the Mississippi Valley for today. We'll take a look at the temperatures as we go through time. We're going to warm things up for us today under mainly cloudy skies. And then that cold front that's producing those severe storms to the west starts to approach us. At 6 a.m., the rain is still back to the west. But as we get into, say, 8 or 9 o'clock, we start to see some of that rain from the Triangle area north and west. This new run of the computer models this morning is a little bit slower. So it may not be that we see the end of the rain in the Triangle until closer to 3. And then after that happens, look how quickly those temperatures drop. We'll fall through the 50s and into the 40s if you happen to be out at Fan Fest in downtown Raleigh on Friday. Now, we're going to walk through those temperatures hour by hour coming up in just a few minutes. We'll also go over the game time temperatures and tailgating temperatures for Saturday because they'll be cooler than that mid-50s. Once all this moves on out, we're looking at much warmer temperatures for next week.
A roller coaster that works out really well temperature-wise for all the events planned. Coming up on WRL News at 5:30, a little progress and a lot of frustration for thousands of homeowners waiting to go home after Hurricanes Matthew and Florence. Only on WRL was there as lawmakers toured some of the homes the state is supposed to be working on.
And tonight at 6, for sale, illegal guns and ammo for teenagers. WRL uncovers the disturbing new social media trend. Still ahead this noon, if one of your New Year's resolutions was to get out of debt, you're not alone. One way is by taking advantage of balance transfer deals. What you need to know to avoid making a bad situation worse.
Also, new government figures reveal just how many Americans have already filed their taxes. What they say is the motivating factor for so many early filings.
Welcome back this noon. Gambling hit a record high in the U.S. last year, and shoppers were spending big in January. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Consumers were spending big last month. Retail sales jumped 3% in January. It was the biggest monthly gain in nearly 2 years. It was far more than economists were forecasting and follows declines in November and December. Shoppers were spending more on everything from clothing to furniture and dining out at the start of the year. The surprisingly strong reports seen as a sign the Fed has a ways to go in slowing the economy to bring inflation down. Kraft Heinz says it's done raising prices for the year as consumers push back against increases. The maker of everything from sliced cheese to ketchup told Wall Street analysts there were no plans to change prices this year, that after hiking them 15% overall last year as costs soared. The company says about 90% of the planned price increases for the year have already been implemented. Kraft Heinz executives believe consumers are going to increasingly push back against higher prices. Gambling hit a record high in the U.S. last year. More than $60 billion was rung up in gambling revenue, according to the American Gaming Association. That doesn't include the tens of billions of dollars in revenue at tribal-owned casinos. And the boom is being driven by online betting apps, sports betting, and lotteries that are growing across the U.S. And the trade group says spending on gambling has remained strong in recent months, despite uncertainty about the economy. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Credit cards have become one of the most expensive ways to borrow money. Annual percentage rates are around 20% right now. You can break the debt cycle by taking advantage of a zero balance offer, but you have to know how to use it. Personal finance experts say pay off the balance you're transferring during that initial period of no interest. If you don't pay it off, any remaining balance could have a new sky-high annual percentage rate applied to it. And read the offer carefully for conditions, like the need to make payments on time. Sometimes one late payment can negate your no-interest offer.
About 19 million people have already filed their taxes. The IRS says the average refund amount is just under $2,000. According to government data, roughly 2.3 million more people have filed their taxes in 2023 at this time compared to last year. One financial analyst says more people may be filing earlier this year in hopes of getting a refund check sooner. Raleigh developer John Kane is talking with WRAL about his vision for expanding North Hills.
Getting residential on this side of the street, on where the old mall was, is really important to us.
Coming up, what he has in store for his most ambitious redevelopment project so far. Plus,
because you don't open up your textbooks in the high schools or the middle schools and get any of these stories. These are the untold stories.
A traveling exhibit highlights the contributions women of color have made to the U.S. military, where you can see it.
And here are the winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Disturbing new details about the accused Michigan State University shooter and what authorities say they found in his backpack. Investigators say Anthony McRae had a two-page note in his backpack referencing other targets such as a warehouse, an employment agency, and a fast food restaurant. But the note did not say why he chose those targets or his list of grievances, but it did include names and addresses. NBC's Jesse Kirsch is at MSU, where students return to the classroom for the first time to pick up their belongings.
Amazing grace. As Michigan State grieves the loss of three promising young lives, this morning demands for change are growing.
Do you feel safe?
Dozens rallied outside the nearby State House Wednesday calling for tighter gun laws.
Nobody should ever have to go through this. It needs to stop now.
Meanwhile, survivors are returning to where gunfire erupted Monday night. The FBI helping students retrieve items like phones, laptops, and backpacks left exactly where they were when their owners fled for their lives. Connor Dunn says he escaped the student union, eventually hiding in a nearby ice cream shop after the suspect allegedly accessed two different campus buildings.
What was that like to essentially go back to that moment in time?
It was hard because I remember I almost relived the whole thing.
MSU's police chief telling me this school of more than 50,000 students may get a security overhaul.
I think there have to be adjustments that we made, but we can't lose focus on what the purpose of an academic institution is. It's for learning.
This is new police body camera footage obtained by NBC affiliate Wood TV, appears to show the suspected shooter during a 2019 arrest for carrying a concealed weapon. The footage was edited before NBC News received it. Late Wednesday, the campus community coming together by the thousands, men's basketball coach Tom Izzo among them.
But as a Spartan, we always get through it together. We're Spartan tough, Spartan strong.
That's the university. That's what we do. So we support each other.
That was Jesse Kirsch reporting. One of the people accused in a road rage shooting in Durham County is expected in court today. The Durham County Sheriff's Office says 31-year-old Ira Thorpe was the driver of the white Audi who fired several shots at another car after a minor crash on February 6th. Surveillance video captured the shooting at a gas station off Highway 70. Thorpe is in the Durham County Jail and will face a judge today on several felony charges. Deputies say Tiffany Carr was a passenger in the car. She faces several misdemeanor charges. No one was hurt in the shooting.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center. Back to that breaking news that we have been following all day. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump is holding a press conference along with the family of Darrell Williams, the man who died in Raleigh police custody just last month. He spoke to the crowd calling for action. Take a listen.
Happening. Very often here in North Carolina, in Raleigh specifically, right. We see people who are charged with nothing but resisting arrest. Now, how is that possible? Let's ask those questions.
So civil rights attorney Ben Crump was calling for action against the officers involved in his arrest. He's calling for them to be charged with manslaughter. We're going to have much more. We'll have a live report coming up on all of this tonight at 4.
Thanks, Michelle. Only on WREL, Raleigh developer John Kane is sharing his vision for the future of the North Hills part of Raleigh. Right now, construction crews are working on two office buildings and an apartment building where the JCPenney department store stood until 2021. That was the last remaining part of the indoor North Hills Mall, which Kane demolished 20 years ago. This latest redevelopment project is Kane's largest, totaling about $350 million.
Getting residential on this side of the street, on where the old mall was, is really important to us. And getting more office on top of retail here is very important because we've been mostly a retail kind of an operation here.
Kane tells WREL he may wait a little while longer before coming back to Raleigh City Council with a request to rezone land within North Hills to allow taller towers. That rezoning started more than a year ago, but has been on hold since four new members joined City Council in December.
A traveling exhibit now in Virginia is hoping to teach some of the American history that never appears in traditional textbooks. Elizabeth Holmes reports the exhibit highlights stories from women of color who served in the U.S. military.
It feels good to know that we are honoring the contribution, the achievements, and the struggles of women who have served in the military.
Colonel LaTanya Jordan joined the military to go to college. The higher she climbed the ranks in the Army, the fewer leaders she saw that looked like her.
As I got commissioned and started to progress in the ranks, that did start to narrow. You don't see as many African-American women in leadership roles, but I use that as an opportunity to coach, teach, and mentor and look for those individuals that can replace Colonel Jordan in the future.
The Color of Freedom exhibit, bringing the stories of those like her to light.
There was a beauty about how they accepted their fate.
Women of color fighting for their country, their stories often left untold.
I got into aviation because it was the only combat job for women.
Some names I don't think any households are even familiar with their contributions.
Some names like Connie Mariano, Emily Perez, or Lieutenant Colonel Charity Adams, who came through Fort Lee.
She was the first African-American woman commissioned into the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps in 1942.
Women of color, paying the price for freedom. Curators hope are never forgotten.
The stories that sometimes get buried are now being brought to light. So it's another opportunity for us to share the, you know, these stories, these amazing women.
I was the only African-American female in the MP company, so it was kind of a unique situation.
Because you don't open up your textbooks in the high schools or the middle schools and get any of these stories. These are the untold stories. They're her stories, but they're part of our history.
And there's stories that deserve to be told. The exhibit will be open to the public through February for Black History Month. It will also be on display at the U.S. Army Women's Museum at Fort Lee in Virginia until the end of April.
We're here to help you save money on your grocery bill every week. Just ahead, smart shopper Faye Prosser will join us with the latest round of deals, bargains, and freebies at your local supermarkets.
And later, a nonprofit that helps people who are experiencing homelessness is getting a little help of its own. Download the WRL News app for coverage you can count on wherever you are. Get the latest breaking news, weather, sports, and local events delivered right to your devices. If you need to get your grocery shopping done, you'll want to listen to this. There are a lot of great deals in our area this week. Our WRL Smart Shopper, Faye Prosser, joins us now to help you save money. Faye, good afternoon.
Hello, Renee. There are some great deals to be had at the grocery stores this week, including in the produce aisle. You'll find red, green, or romaine leaf lettuce, 99 cents each at Food Lion, multicolor peppers in a three-pack, only $2.49 at Aldi, and blackberries, only $1.39 per package for My Lidl members at Lidl. And in the meat aisle, you will find chicken drumsticks or thighs, 99 cents a pound at Food Lion, and chicken breasts, value pack, $1.79 a pound at Harris Teeter this week. Plus at Lowe's Foods, you'll find Springer Mountain split chicken breasts, 99 cents a pound, and 80% lean ground beef in a family pack for only $2.99 a pound. And then at the rest of the stores, you'll find Lowe's Foods large white eggs in a 12 count. They're $3.59, but there is a $3 Lowe's Foods digital coupon you can load to your rewards account. It makes them only 59 cents after the coupon. There is a limit of one on those. Plus, you'll find string cheese over at Aldi for $2.19 a package and pizza dough balls over at Food Lion. Buy one, get one free for $1.25 each. And homestyle glazed donuts at Food Lion. Buy one, get one free for $2.75 each. Plus, Harris Teeter has their beans. Buy two, get two free. And the canned beans end up only being about 45 cents each with this sale. And orange juice over at Lidl is two for $4. And at Publix, you'll find a great buy on Peter Pan peanut butter. Buy one, get one free for $1.40 each. And for all you Duke's Mayo fans, a 30-ounce container is only $2.66 at Publix. Buy one, get one free sale. And of course, I've got a list for you of all the top deals on the Smart Shopper column.
Faye, you take the work out of finding great grocery deals for all of us. We appreciate you. For more smart shopping tips from Faye, go to WREL.com, look for the consumer tab, and search Smart Shopper.
A nonprofit in Cary provides short-term shelter for families in need.
But that's not all. Coming up, how the Caring Place helps families in other ways, and how a new grant will give that mission a big boost.
Plus, the oldest Hebrew Bible is up for your bidding. And wait until you hear just how much this could fetch at auction. The number of people experiencing homelessness has doubled, more than doubled, since in Wake County since the year 2020. A Wake County nonprofit, though, is working to reverse that trend. Joining us from the Caring Place is Leslie Covington to talk about how they're putting a new grant to work for them. So, Leslie, first off, thanks for joining us. Tell us about this mission of the Caring Place.
Oh, thank you so much. The mission of the Caring Place, first of all, it's a 30-year-old mission. And for 30 years, we have been providing families that are experiencing homelessness, but are working and have children, we've provided them with life and budgeting skills. And we've taught them how to figure out what is making them, you know, basically homeless, with putting them in that space. and teaching them how to work their way out of it. At the same time, we are housing them. So it's both housing and financial literacy.
Trying to break that terrible cycle. This year, Goodwill of Eastern North Carolina has committed $1.5 million in grants to local and regional community partners. You'll get $200,000 of that. How will you use that share?
It's wonderful that Goodwill Industries of Eastern North Carolina is supporting us so well. The way that we will be using this grant is actually to help scale and to grow. As you said, the demand is growing, and we've seen upwards of 90 families per month that need our services and our care. So that Goodwill grant will actually help us to increase the number of housing units that we will have to support those families. Growth is necessary, and they're going to help us scale and be able to serve more.
It's certainly a difficult task. When we talk about those numbers of how people experiencing homelessness in Wake County has doubled in recent years, how can people who need this help so desperately get in touch with you if they are in need of this assistance?
Oh, that's a great question. Basically, please call us. Our number is 919-462-1800, and we can be found online at www.thecaringplace, that's Cary, as in Cary, North Carolina, caryingplace.org. We're here to help, and we'll get you to where you need to be.
That's a play on words with the town of Cary name in that, but certainly no game here. Serious business.
Right.
Leslie Covington, good luck to you in the future. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We are so fortunate to have these nonprofits working so hard to make a difference in our community. Turning to weather now, it is going to be another warm afternoon. And Elizabeth, at the top of the newscast, I was watching the live view from Dix Park, and there were two families having picnics there. They have since packed up because I think it's a little breezy out there.
That wind is really picking up. Yeah, about half an hour ago, we were looking at the fact that we're gusting, you know, up to 20, 25 miles per hour. That's going to be the same thing tomorrow. The big difference is today that wind is warm. Tomorrow, that wind is going to be cold. We're looking at some cloud cover that continues to build this afternoon. There's still a few holes in the clouds in some places, but Goldsboro, you can see the camera shaking a little bit in the wind. Here's a look at Apex, Durham, Chapel Hill. I see some people out enjoying some of the picnic tables in front of the Durham newsroom. And in Chapel Hill, people are out and about enjoying this nice mild weather. That view, of course, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Of course, parts of the South are dealing with some dangerous weather right now. You can see the red colors here. Those red colors indicate the tornado watch that's in effect. We'll likely have some watches and warnings that continue on through the afternoon. But as this continues to slide eastward, that threat will diminish. Right now, we're looking at a level 3 risk for severe storms for parts of Tennessee, Alabama, and into Mississippi as well. Now, as this shifts eastward, as the front moves eastward tomorrow, we're going to lose a lot of that energy that would cause severe storms. Here's a look at that. You can see where we have the green and the blue shaded areas. This is where we have a better chance of seeing enough energy for strong to severe thunderstorms. And that just weakens and fizzles out as we get into the day tomorrow as the cold front moves through. And that's definitely good news. Let's check Futurecast again. Today we have that solid flow coming out of the southwest, warming our temperatures into the upper 70s. We watch this line of showers that starts to move into the area. We're going to be too stable really for much in terms of scattered thunderstorms. A rumble of thunder wouldn't be out of the question, but it's unlikely. At 9 o'clock, we're seeing rain from Raleigh, Durham, westward. And then by lunchtime, it settles in across a good bit of the viewing area. That's noon. We'll pause it again at 2. Still a few isolated showers around the triangle. But it quickly moves out by around 3 o'clock, and we begin to see clearing skies behind it. At that point, the temperatures will be dropping, and it will be windy. So we start in the morning with temperatures in the 60s, and it's one of those sort of upside-down days. That rain will start to taper off in the triangle around 1 or 2 o'clock. By 3 o'clock, most of it's completely out of the viewing area. And then we start to fall through the 50s and then even into the 40s. If you're headed to Fan Fest in downtown Raleigh, it's a free event. It looks like a ton of fun. Lots of music. The Stanley Cup will be there. Take along your jacket, your coat with you. If you're going to be tailgating or heading to the Fan Fest near Carter Finley Stadium, temperatures will be in the mid-50s to start with. But by game time, we're going to go from the upper 40s down into the low 40s. So it's going to feel like winter, which is going to be perfect. It's amazing that this cold day on Saturday is sandwiched in between 70s today and 70s on Tuesday. I mean, you just couldn't have planned it any better. We will warm up nicely next week. If you happen to have President's Day off, looking nice and mild for Monday.
I think, as Jeff mentioned, the hockey gods are smiling down upon us. Well, finding love after Valentine's Day is possible. You just have to know where to look. How One Animal Shelter is pairing pets with people this week.
And here's a look at last night's Powerball drawing. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. The family of a man who died in Raleigh police custody will call for the officers involved to be charged with manslaughter. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump made the announcement today, along with the family of Darrell Williams. Williams died after officers used a taser on him several times while trying to arrest him last month.
Today at NC State, classes are canceled for a wellness day. This comes after the university confirmed its fifth on-campus death by suicide and eighth death overall since the start of the school year. This wellness day was planned before the semester started. NC State has increased the number of counselors on campus and is now providing telehealth services.
Developers who want to transform Durham's Northgate Mall will talk about their plans this evening. Tonight's meeting is happening at 6 at the former Dress Barn location at the mall. Developers want to convert the mall's old Sears building into more shops, a retail anchor store, and a small park. The overall layout of the mall would stay about the same, but developers just want to give it a fresh look.
The world's oldest Hebrew Bible is expected to get between $30 to $50 million at auction. The Codex Sassoon dates back to the late 9th, early 10th centuries. It's believed to be the earliest and most complete Hebrew Bible. The book is made up of 792 parchment pages made from animal skins. Sotheby's is auctioning off the Bible in New York this May. Before the bidding starts, the book will follow an exhibition tour to Israel and the U.S.
A new edition has arrived at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Here we go.
That's Super Nintendo World, and it'll debut at the theme park tomorrow. The new attraction currently features an augmented reality ride, Mario Kart, Bowser's Challenge. Fans can also check out the Toadstool Cafe and 1-Up Factory Store as part of the Mario World experience. A power-up band can also be purchased for $40 in order to face off against the evil Bowser Jr. after completing 3 key challenges.
Oh, the music is so familiar. Not everyone had a Valentine's Day date, but some people are finding a companion after the holiday. People overseas are still going on post-Valentine's Day dates, but these dates aren't with people. They're with dogs. Anyone who visits the Philippines Animal Welfare Society, or PAWS, between now and Saturday can book a date with any dog they pick for about $20. Now, if the date is successful, the visitor can adopt their new pal. PAWS has about 240 rescue animals looking for homes.
Our pet of the day comes to us from Hope Animal Rescue. This is Ginger Rogers, affectionately known as Gingerbread, a beautiful mama adult dog looking for a forever home that all of her puppies have found their hearts now. Ginger Rogers is a medium energy dog who would make a great walking partner. House trained, crate trained, dog friendly. Contact Hope Animal Rescue if you're interested in that. NBC News Daily is up next on WREL with your next local update.
Get breaking news updates anytime on our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Local news doesn't stop here. Coverage continues across all major streaming platforms using the WREL app and on WREL.com.